Thank you so much. And thank you particularly, Matt. It's wonderful to be here with you, Metro. Lovely sunny afternoon. And I'm not quite sure if you ever have to introduce yourself. Kind of what information do you kind of put across to people? I could say that like Alex said, I'm Tim. I'm one of the leaders of Woodlands Church. I've been part of Woodlands for 33 years, and I love all that God's doing through the church. I could say to you that I'm a family man. I'm married. I've got two grown-up boys. I've just been to Liverpool with my two grandchildren. I could tell you that my hobby is gardening. I've got a little allotment and kind of I'm growing some spectacular vegetables at this very moment. I could tell you that occasionally I cycle to work because the planet's not going to save itself. I could tell you all kinds of things about me, but I suppose the thing that is most important to me is that I love Jesus. Actually, I mean, that, as far as what defines us, actually, I could have said all those things, which are true. But there's something about loving Jesus that matters just so much to me. Actually, Jesus, the person that he is, the things that he did, all that he accomplished through his life and his teaching, I mean, his death and his resurrection. Actually, if there's somebody who could be the best hero to follow, actually Jesus has been the one that, since the age of seven, I've tried to follow with all my dreams, my hopes, my thoughts, and my money, my relationships. And actually following him is the most important thing. And so kind of following the way of Jesus is something that we're going to think a bit about tonight. What does it mean to be people who genuinely say that Jesus is the most important person to me? I'm choosing to be the person that follows in the way of Jesus because I've encountered his love and his grace that's transformed me. And whether you found that already or whether you're here or watching online and you're still on that journey to discover it, let me tell you, finding Jesus is the most incredible person you can ever find in life. But following the way of Jesus, for me, has been a life that's been choose to say, I want to welcome the work of Jesus in my life, but actually I want to do the things that Jesus did. I mean, the things that Jesus did, his words and his actions and the way that he kind of shows what true humanity should be like, how God always intended life to be. Actually, doing the things that Jesus did is the thing that I really want to do, but I don't know if you ever tried doing doing the things Jesus did. It's hard. Actually, it's not only hard, I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible just by your human will. Actually, you may have come here to Metro. Actually, you may have encountered something of the love and power of Jesus, and you might think, do you know what? I'm just going to live my life wholeheartedly for Jesus. You might start off, and you discover it's really hard. You discover that you thought that becoming a Christian, all your problems are going to be solved, and it finds out you've got a whole stack more. You thought that kind of life was going to just be kind of a breeze, and you find that actually you've joined a battle of light against darkness, and you try to do the Jesus things, but you find that you keep on doing stuff that's wrong, and you fail, and you let yourself down, and you let people down, and think, how do I do the things that Jesus... He's so important to me. How do I do the things that Jesus did? Which is why today, the day of Pentecost, is such an amazing day to remember, because God knew that we couldn't do the things that Jesus did by ourselves. Actually, he knew that we couldn't do them just by having an example of Jesus to follow and to admire. Actually, he knew that just through human choices and human will, we had insufficient power to live the Jesus kind of life. And why on the day of Pentecost, we remember that God sends his Holy Spirit. God sends his Spirit because his Spirit helps me to be like Jesus and to do the things that Jesus did. On that first day of Pentecost, those first followers, they'd been with Jesus 3 years. They'd been amazed by his teachings and the miracles that he did. Actually amazed by his death. Amazed by his resurrection. But they were there still cowering away, kind of thinking, oh, we've got to do the Jesus thing. We've got to do the Jesus life. We've got to tell the Jesus news. But I'm so scared. I'm so frightened. I feel a bit vulnerable. And they're there praying on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured upon them. And the Holy Spirit helps them to do two things. The Holy Spirit helps them to be like Jesus. Jesus' character with his compassion, his tenderness, his love, his grace, his generosity, his mercy, his joy. actually, when we open our lives up to the Holy Spirit, we find there's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that is those kind of things. The fruit of the Spirit that kind of grows in your heart and my heart, in our lives, as the Holy Spirit helps us to become who Jesus is in his character and personality. To be like Jesus is. I told you that I have a little allotment, and one of the things I've got in my allotment is this apple tree. I didn't plant it, it was planted before me, and obviously there's been two other kind of varieties of apples grafted onto this tree, because I have three kinds of apples growing on one tree. There's just been a blossom, blossoms have just been, and they've just formed, and they've just fallen off. Now, when you see a blossom, do you think, wow, there's an apple on that tree? No, but actually there's the promise of an apple. Actually, now the blossoms if you look very closely, there's this tiny little kind of thing. It kind of looks, fake, a little bit like an apple. In three months' time, that would have swollen and it'd be about this kind of big. And it's kind of looking even more like an apple. But when it comes to the end of August, you can pick those apples and you can taste juicy, fresh appleness. That fruit has grown. And in some ways, it's a bit like the life of Jesus in us. The life of Jesus that starts off like a little bit of a blossom. It kind of, there's just a little bit of something, Jesus in his life, that's transforming us and helping us. And we're kind of a little bit different from how we were. But maybe we're still a bit angry, and we're still a bit jealous, and we're still a bit kind of selfish. But the more we're open to the Holy Spirit, the more it's like that fruit grows and grows and grows. And we don't have to stress and strain, apples, kind of. We're just open to the Holy Spirit. And through the life of Jesus, we become like Jesus. But not only do we become like Jesus, the Holy Spirit helps us to do the things that Jesus did. Now, what we call these the gifts of the Spirit. Now, Nick, I'm very sorry. I'm just going to change my order. Can you do this? Can you kind of go on to the 1 Corinthians 11 passage rather than those ones? I'll kind of push the little buttons and see if we can go there. So we want to go to the bit that starts off, which kind of says, now these are the manifestations of the Spirit. Here we go. Now, to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit are given for the common good. Okay, so how are we going to do the things that Jesus did? Well, there's manifestation, there's gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Actually, they're given to us to help us to do the things that Jesus did. Now, what are those things? Well, to one is given the Spirit of a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And to another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one of us, just as he is determined. Okay, this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit helps us to do the things that Jesus did. Actually, we know that we can't do them. So when Jesus healed people, we know that we can't heal. There's nothing in ourselves that can supernaturally heal people. But it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Actually, we know that sometimes we're talking with somebody in a pastoral situation and we've listened to their heart and we've heard something of the pain they're in and the dilemma they're facing. And we think, actually, just my human wisdom is insufficient here. God, will you help me to do the things that Jesus did? Jesus came with real wisdom to people. And one of the gifts of the Spirit is a word of wisdom, where God can give you wisdom that somehow it's just God thinks something and you get the idea of what God's thinking about a situation. And there's breakthrough. There's things like miraculous powers and supernatural healing, which, again, maybe you've seen that. Maybe in a moment or two when we get the chance to pray, maybe we'll have the chance to pray on the day of Pentecost for some physical healing to be here in the room. Because that was the things that Jesus did. Jesus came with wisdom. He came with faith. He came with power. He came with words of knowledge. He came actually to bring the kingdom that's unseen into the three-dimensional world. And so this series we're looking at about hearing God. How do we hear from God? In some ways, well, I think Kate spoke yesterday about hearing God for ourselves, guiding us. But actually, if we're going to do the things that Jesus did, actually we want the word of God to be working through us towards other people. Because when Jesus came, he came with words. Words that brought freedom. Words that brought encouragement. Words that brought challenge. Words that brought inspiration. And if we're going to do the things that Jesus did, actually we're going to need to pass on the words of Jesus, the words of God, not just to receive them from ourselves, but how we can pass those on to other people. I'm really sorry, Nick, but we're going to nip back to where we were before. Is that possible? Come on, Nick, we believe. So this is what it says about words of prophecy. Follow the way of love. Eagerly desire these spiritual gifts we've been talking about, but especially prophecy. Especially prophecy. Now, I wonder why that is the case, because you might think, do you know what? If there was any of the gifts of the Spirit that we could pursue to help the name of Jesus to be made known, maybe it would be miracles. What if we turned water into wine? What if we walked across kind of the River Severn on the water? Kind of actually, you think, those are the kind of things that would really inspire people and help people to find faith in Jesus. But he says this, kind of eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but especially, here's one thing, if you're following Jesus and following his way, here's one thing that I want everyone to do. This one thing that I want everyone to do is this. God is a God of love and kindness and generosity. He's not silent. He always wants to speak. Actually, he always wants to speak to everybody. He wants to speak to you all here, those of you that are watching online. He wants to speak to you whether you've been a Christian for many years or whether you've only just become a Christian. Actually, he wants to speak to you even if you would say at the moment you're not yet a Christian. Because he's a God who is a God who's a relational God. He's not static and like some kind of faraway deity who we've just got to pay homage to and reverence. Actually, he wants to engage with you and with me. He's a relational God. Now, any kind of relational person will want to speak. And prophecy is, that's what it is. Prophecy is God speaking. God speaking to other people through you. In the Old Testament, there was kind of prophets, and prophets would bring the word of God, would bring the word of God to the people. There would be these great oracles, these great speeches where God would want to challenge or encourage, would want to give some hope, a sense of destiny. And in the New Testament, we have the Spirit poured out on those followers of Jesus. And he says, now I want you to prophesy. I want you to pass on the words from God. Words from God that are going to do these things. Paul says this later on in 1 Corinthians 14. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their, here's three things, strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Actually, God wants to use you to speak to people when they feel weak, because he wants to strengthen them. Actually, he wants to speak through you to other people when they feel disheartened, in despair, because he wants to give them encouragement. Actually, when people are grieving and mourning and a feeling that kind of life has just been kicking them in the teeth, actually, God can speak through you to give them words of comfort. And they're not just kind of trite, kind of glib. They're words that somehow they just touch parts that no other words can touch. The times where I've known that God has spoken to me and he's used other people, but I know it's not just somebody who's just trying to be nice and kind, but I know that in the way that they love me and they've been listening to God, actually the words that have brought to me have brought strength when I felt weak, have brought encouragement when I feel fearful, have brought me comfort when I feel down. And the reality is that this evening, actually God wants everyone here within Metro to be somebody who prophesies, who speaks God's word to other people, because that's doing the things of Jesus, bringing his words into a three-dimensional world that desperately needs his love and his life. Now you might say, well, Tim, kind of the idea of being a prophet just seems kind of fairly hardcore. It seems to be for those who are kind of super, super duper spiritual, and those that have been kind of, are you sure it means that God wants, that kind of when Paul says he wants everyone to prophesy, it includes me? And I say, yeah, he wants to include you. Well, I suppose then the question is, how do you go about prophesying? I mean, how do you go about listening to God? Now, Kate, last week, I think, was saying some of the ways in which God can guide you. But here's some of the ways that I think God speaks to me. Actually, sometimes there's things that you see. In fact, the prophets of the Old Testament were called seers because they would see stuff. Actually, sometimes you see physical stuff. You see things that happen, and somehow it's like a lived-out parable. And you might have seen something, and in seeing it, you think, do you know what? That's a bit like God. or that's a bit like how the church should be, or that's a bit like what I feel that God is saying to you at the moment. And we see things physically with our eyes, and maybe there's times where you see things and you... maybe you've been on holiday and you've walked up a mountain and you see the vista and you look at the geological features and you think, actually, God, you're so faithful, you're so wonderful. You actually see something and somehow words come to things that you see. Sometimes the seeing things are seeing things in your imagination. Now, I wonder if you can close your eyes for a moment and hopefully you won't drift off to sleep. But close your eyes. If I was to tell you, kind of imagine a significant place. Imagine a place that's significant to you. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Okay, open your eyes. Now, that place where you saw that picture of kind of, that's where sometimes God can speak to you. I know for me, God sometimes will speak to me there. I kind of maybe in a worship time, or maybe when I'm reading my Bible first thing in the morning and praying for people, I'll kind of close my eyes and sometimes I just get a little kind of image on that little bit where you saw that picture just now. And God will give me a revelation or a picture. And it might be just a static picture. And through that picture, I'll say to God, God, what are you trying to say through that? And then there might be a little explanation of why I've seen that particular picture. And maybe it's to pass on to either a group of believers or maybe to one specific person I'm praying for. Sometimes it's a moving picture. It's a bit like a little kind of little short movie. And through it, God's again trying to say something to somebody to bring strength, encouragement and comfort. Actually, sometimes it's hearing. Sometimes it's kind of just like some people would have actually heard God speak to them with like an audible voice. I've never had that. I've been a Christian for loads of years. I've never heard God speaking to me audibly. But sometimes in my inner ear, I kind of hear a voice that's a thought that's not my thought. And a thought or words come into my imagination that weren't there already. And sometimes that's God. Actually, sometimes God speaks in dreams. Those dreams can sometimes be dreams that, again, they just help to speak to people. I remember a friend once telling me about he used to go out in the streets sometimes and tell people about Jesus. And he had this dream, and in this dream he was in the street talking to people. And he was talking to people, and he felt that he had to tell them three things. And kind of, here's one thing, and he had a little picture and held up. This is about God. The second thing, this is about God. The third thing, this is about God. And he woke up in the morning, and he was going to go out with some friends to tell people about Jesus. So he thought, do you know what? I'll draw those three pictures I saw in my dream down on a big piece of card. So they were doing some, had a little bit of music out there and started talking to people about Jesus. And then when there was a little bit of a crowd, he kind of stood up and said, I just want to tell you three things about God. And he held his first picture and says, I want to tell you this about God. And his second picture, I want to tell you this about God. And his third picture that he had in his dream, I want to tell you about this about God. And he said, we're around here. If any of you want to come talk to anyone about God, do come and talk to us. And as he put these three pictures down, this person came straight to him from the crowd and said, do you know what? I've been wanting to become a Christian, but for the last kind of 5 or 6 years, I've just had three questions about God that no one's been able to answer. And I couldn't believe it when you held up your first picture, because that was the first question I had about God. And then the second picture, that was the second and the third. The third was my third question. How can I become a Christian? And again, in a dream, God has spoken to him about something that he could actually release some strength, some comfort, some encouragement to somebody who's there. So maybe when you go to sleep, say, God, rather than just having some random crazy dreams, actually, God, I wonder if you could speak to me in my dreams. Occasionally, most of my dreams are slightly random, but occasionally I just feel there's someone will be in a dream, and it's not as though I've been thinking about them. It's not as though my mind's been processing stuff after a busy day. And quite frequently, I'll say, if someone comes into a dream and if something was happened, I would actually drop them a little text or message ask God for a little Bible verse in the morning. And surprisingly, quite often, it's very timely that those people need to hear from God. So whether it is seeing with your eyes, seeing in your mind's eye, hearing with your ears, hearing that inner voice, whether it is dreaming, actually sometimes whether it is in just speaking, sometimes with a heart that's loving God, a heart that's open to his Holy Spirit, sometimes just in a conversation you can say things that are bringing strength and bringing courage. Actually, sometimes your words are, in some ways, communicating God's stuff, even though you don't know it. The word of God is near you. It's even on your lips. There's sometimes, if you've given your life over to Jesus, sometimes in your talking, sometimes people come to me and say, oh, Tim, you know, kind of 2 years ago when you said this, that, or the other, it really spoke to me. And I said, did I say that? I can't remember saying that. Oh, yeah, when we were here. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't remember that. But somehow the word of God can speak through us and to us. So I suppose on this day of Pentecost, I'd say to you, are you willing to give it a go? Because I think it's about taking a risk. In the end, it's faith. I have faith that it's God speaking through me to you. I can't be 100% sure, but I take the risk. Actually, as long as I'm not trying to show off or to be super spiritual or to be kind of stand out from the crowd as being sort of Tim the great prophet, as long as it's love, even if I get it wrong, if it's motivated by love, people will taste the love and not the failure. Does that make sense? So if you really genuinely do love somebody, a friend at work or one of your family members who's not yet a Christian, and you feel God is kind of, you really love them, you love them to know God's presence, you love to know his forgiveness, his hope, and you feel there's a word that you could share with them that might be God, actually say to them kind of, do you know what, I kind of feel God might be saying this to you. I wouldn't go full on heavy and thus says the Lord kind of, but I kind of feel God might be saying this. And if it's right, well, thank you, God. Actually, if it's wrong, and it says, Tim, that makes no sense at all, but thank you anyway. Thank you, you took the time. Your faith obviously matters to you, and I'm really touched that it mattered enough for you to give it a go. Absolute rubbish what you said, but I taste the love and not the failure. Does that make sense? So I would say to each one of you, give it a go. Just before we finish and have a chance to maybe listen out to God a bit here this evening, one of the things that I've seen God do with me is something called the words of knowledge. You might think, well, what is a word of knowledge? It's one of those gifts of the Spirit. A word of knowledge is knowing what God knows. I mean, knowing something that about somebody, about a situation that humanly you couldn't know, but the reason you know it is because God knows. I remember kind of a few years ago, I was in a church service a bit like this, and I had this kind of, I just said to God, God, is there anything you want to do for anybody here this evening? Any, maybe a healing? And as I asked God that question, I really felt this kind of strange sensation in that tooth there. It was the kind of the third tooth on the right at the top. So I just said after the service, has anybody here got a pain in their tooth? And actually it's the third one along at the top. And sure enough, there was somebody in there, and all that day, they had an incredible toothache, and it was the third tooth long from the top. So they came to the front, and as they came through to the front, actually, that word of knowledge, it meant they had some faith. They came and thought, do you know what? I wonder if God's talking to me, little old me. Out of all the hundreds of people that are here, somehow he's spoken to Tim, and Tim said this out loud, and actually it is me, because of all the teeth you could have in your mouth, kind of, it's that one, and it's exactly that one, and it's exactly that painful. So he came to the front with a bit of faith, and when I said, are you sure it's that tooth? And he said, yeah, it's that tooth, and he points to the third one from the top. Actually, do you know what? I had a bit of faith too. And we prayed, and straight away, the pain disappeared. His dentist actually belongs to the church and was there on Sunday, and he thought, I'm sure he's going to come and visit me when he saw the... but no, the pain had gone and went for good. So why does God give words of knowledge? I think words of knowledge are there because faith is important. The writer of the Hebrews says this, doesn't he? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Jesus, when he saw people being healed, Jairus, when his daughter was close to dying, in fact, did die, Jesus says this, hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe, and she'll be healed. When a man wanted Jesus to heal his son, and Jesus said, just believe, and he said, well, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And what a word of knowledge does is a word of knowledge helps to release faith in people. I mean, if I was to say to you here, actually, is there somebody who's got some muscle damage on their right hand kind of thigh, kind of around here? And you're someone who thinks, you know what? I have. I kind of pulled the muscle and it's not healed properly and it's still kind of, it's still a bit achy. You might think, well, actually, do you know what? I might get a little bit of prayer before I go tonight. Because something was said that you think, actually, that applies to me, and somehow your faith starts to rise. I did a physics degree here in Bristol, and I became a physics teacher, and sometimes people say that that science kind of can disprove faith and Christianity, which is not true at all. But I do realise we're living in a society that is unbelieving and is cynical. And sometimes the gift of the word of knowledge actually helps cynical people be confronted with the fact that Jesus is who Jesus is. One of the words of knowledge that I love in the Bible is when Jesus meets somebody called Nathanael. A guy called Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus, but before he says to Nathanael this, he says, Philip says to Nathanael, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And this is Nathanael's cynical, snide reply. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And that Nathanael asked. And Philip said, well, come and see. So when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. And Nathanael asked Jesus, how did you know me? And this is the word of knowledge. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. He knew something that only God can know. He wasn't there. He was the other side of town. When Philip spoke to him, he was sat underneath the fig tree. And Nathanael suddenly thinks, well, hang on a minute. I think that nothing good could come out of Nazareth and there's no prophet, whatever. And suddenly you know something about me that no one else could have known. And so Nathanael then declares this declaration of faith. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, you believe. Why? Because I had a word of knowledge about you. Because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that. And I think words of knowledge raise people's faith. I think it's 3 or 4 years ago, a friend of mine who was part of a community church that I was leading was going through a really tough time. I mean, just a really tough time of people in her family who were sick, friends who had got cancer and someone who died. And just, you know, her faith was just a low, low ebb. And she said, Tim, I wonder if could you come around, because I just don't know if I can trust God anymore. I just don't know. I don't want to give up on God, but just, there's so many questions, there's so many disappointments, things are so hard, my faith's at such a low ebb. Could you just come around? I'd just love to talk to you. And so we went round and we just talked about kind of how, yeah, well, it turned out not only just the people that she got in front of her, actually, she was concerned about famines and earthquakes and wars. And kind of, I said, you've got to stop listening to Radio 4, listen to Radio 2 instead. I said, very pastoral advice. And I tried to kind of say about how God's at work, and I'm not sure if I helped at all. But just before I left, she said, "Oh, Tim, I just wondered. You often get words of knowledge at church. How do you get a word of knowledge?" And I said, "Oh, well, I don't know. I just kind of I'd ask God for something, and a bit of my body might there'd be a sort of strange sensation." So we were sat there at the kitchen table. And said, "For example, I might have a sensation in my right heel. So I might say to somebody, I might think, okay, there's somebody here with something in the right heel. Then I might ask God the question, why? What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, so I might say, okay, there's someone here with." Something wrong with the right heel because they've stood on some glass and there's some glass still embedded in it. And she looks at me, she says, "Tim, how did you know I've got glass embedded in my right heel? Last week I broke a mirror and there was a bit that I didn't see and I walked on it and it's been just every time I put pressure on my foot, it's just there." And I said, "Well, maybe it's God." And I tried to answer her questions around why God didn't answer prayer. And I'm not sure if I did a very good job, but when I left, she knew that God knew her. Actually, she knew that God understood. Why? Because he'd revealed to me in a very strange, roundabout way that she'd got glass in her right heel. And there's no way I could have known that. Of all the things I could have guessed at, the probability of that was, it had to be God. And I just wonder if we're people who are open to the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, to say we love Jesus so much, We want to do the things that Jesus did. We want to prophesy. We want to pray for the sick. We want to share words of knowledge. Actually, not so to show us up to be kind of people, but actually the reality is our world needs spirit-filled believers taking faith-filled risks to share his word. Our world desperately, desperately needs spirit-filled believers in Jesus who are taking faith-filled risks to share his word. And I wonder if you are one of those people. I wonder if you are one of those people who even tonight will say, Holy Spirit, I'm not sure if I can do it. I'm not sure if I'll fail, but I do love my friends, my work colleagues. I love the people on my street who aren't yet Christian, those who are studying on my course. Actually, there is something in my heart that I love. And I'd love you, God, to break into their lives. I'd love you to challenge them, to encourage them, to comfort them. Actually, I'd love it if it wasn't just me being a nice person, but what if there was a supernatural gift that demonstrated supernaturally that you were alive and you could minister in there? Actually, I'd love to be a spirit-filled person taking faith-filled risks to share God's word. And if it's done with a heart of love, with confidence in the Holy Spirit, in one way we can never fail. Even if we make mistakes, even if we don't get it right all the time, actually the love of God is made known through people who are open to his Spirit, who are taking the risks to share his word. And I wonder if we can take a little chance just to pray now. And as we pray, and maybe as Matt leads a little bit of worship, actually, if any of you would like some prayer, kind of on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled people, and you might say, actually, I have been trying to live the Christian life, and I know that I fail, and I know I feel weak, and I know that I need some external power. And I don't know, where do we normally pray for people here? Yeah, okay. Well, I'll be there, and a few other people will be there as we're worshipping. Actually, if you'd like to be prayed for, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, actually, even to get to be able to start to prophesy, maybe for the first time, to share God's word. I mean, I'd love to pray for you, some of the others. Actually, if you'd like some physical healing, actually, if there is something wrong with your hip, kind of with your muscles on this side, that you'd love a bit of prayer. Actually, if I did feel, when I said to close your eyes and imagine a significant place, actually, I wonder whether there's somebody, you imagine this kind of large house with this kind of gravel driveway or pathway up it. And again, I thought, oh, if someone imagined that, I think God wants to speak to you. And I'd love to pray for you if that was the picture that came into your mind as we did that exercise a moment ago. And I also wonder whether there's somebody here who, again, when you get particularly pressurized, you've got a little kind of little twitch in your eye that's kind of just a little indication of a kind of a nervous reaction that maybe, okay, God wants to bring a bit of healing, a bit of breakthrough in your life. So if any of those things kind of make sense to you, we'd love to pray for you. Actually, while we're worshipping, it may be that even this evening you can ask God, God, do you know what? I just love these guys here at Metro. I wonder if you could speak to them through me this evening. I wonder if there's something, maybe a Bible verse, maybe a picture, maybe something that while we're worshipping, just this kind of phrase comes into your mind that you haven't been thinking about. Actually, maybe there might be a chance just before we finish, just even to share some words that might be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting for us all. But shall we stand together? And as I pray, let's stand. And we say, Holy Spirit, thank you so much that on the day of Pentecost you came and you filled people who loved Jesus wholeheartedly but felt weak and frightened. And when you filled them and when you gave them the fruit and the gifts of your Spirit, somehow they were changed for good. And we hold our hands out to you and say, Holy Spirit, we want to be filled again afresh by you. We want the fruit of your Spirit to grow in our lives, like that apple on the apple tree, not stressing and straining, but just open to your love and your grace and your refreshing. Somehow those characteristics grow in our lives. But we want with hearts of love and compassion, we want to be open to those gifts of the Spirit. Tonight, as we worship now, will you fill us? In Jesus' name, amen.